Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Tell He looked down into her brown eyes and said, say a prayer for me. She threw her arms around him, whispered, God will keep us free. They could hear the riders coming. He said, this is my last fight. If they take me back to Texas, they won't take me back alive. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the bells stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
He reached down and picked a gun up that lay smoking in his hand. She said, Father, please forgive me, I can't make it without my man. And she knew the gun was empty, and she knew she couldn't win. But her final prayer was answered when the rifles fired again. There was seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lover in the valley of the gun. When the bells stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. Seven Spanish angels took another angel home. All right, y'all, help me now.
There were seven Spanish angels
at the altar
of the sun.
Oh, I believe
they were praying for the lover.
Yeah, it was
in the valley of the sun.
Well, well, well.
When the battle stopped and smoke cleared,
there was thunder.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we're reconnecting you now. Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Unmuted. Hey, everybody. This is Daryl Barbecue Superstars, Hot Box Grill. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
All right. We've got Hot Box Grill on the line. We've got my main man here. He's got one of the... Oh, wait a minute.
Getting feedback.
Yeah, I got it up on the... Okay, now all the feedback should be gone. All right, so...
That sounds good.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about Hot Box Grills.
Well, we were on your show a while back. We first started out and trying to perfect the grill and get the brand out and talk to people in the business. Recently, Jay Prince did a nice review on the Hot Box, so people that are unfamiliar with the new product can kind of find out a little bit more about the product and how it operates. People usually are a little reluctant to buy new stuff unless somebody else tries it. And Jay Prince had the Hot Box grill down there in Carolina, and he went through the review process, and it turned out real well. We've been working on the Hot Box grill for probably a little over 3 years, since latter part of 2009. So we're taking our time. We want to make it right, and it's just been one of them long journeys that we've actually been having fun doing.
Now, the Hot Box grill can be used for outdoor camping or just about any use where it's like for a single family or someplace where you don't have the ability to pull your big pull-behind grill. But really, it's like number one for tailgating. And talk a little bit about the use for it in tailgating.
Well, the original design was basically for tailgating. We never did come across a good size grill with features. That's one of the reasons I designed it the way it did. It's got 370 square inches of cooking space, and it's got two levels of charcoal. We break down those charcoal trays into three trays so you can kind of move them up and down and have a hot spot on part of it and then a cool spot on another. And then our food grates are broken down also into three sections. So you can eliminate one section where you could drop in smoke if you're smoking, pork butt or whatever you're smoking on the grill. And it's just a collapsible grill. It folds up. As if you look at Jay's review, you can put it together in under 5 minutes. You don't need any tools. It's just a convenient grill, large enough to handle more than a couple, two, three people. Most of the grills out there and portables are pretty small. And we used to tailgate when our kids were in college, and there just wasn't a decent-sized grill out there to feed a group of people unless you want to flip burgers all afternoon. So it's got size, it's got features. You can grill on it, and you can smoke on it as well.
Yeah, I tell you now, we got familiar with the Hot Box grill like last year or so, and we had them on our website to sell, and they come in a carrying case and everything. So, like, if somebody wanted to carry them out to a tailgate to do a tailgate, they got a carrying case and everything, put it up in just a little storage area.
Yeah, we've got there's two cases that you can buy optional with the grill. The large case, the cases are made with real heavy-duty fabric. You can actually take these things out, and you can take them through a car wash and clean them. They're real durable. They're put together with heavy-duty Velcro straps. And the large case carries your hood, your ash pan, and your folded firebox. And then our smaller case, that holds your three charcoal grates, your three food grates, and then we have a sleeve to slide in the 4 3-inch stainless steel legs. So the grill itself is basically all stainless steel. All the hinging is powder coated stainless steel. The legs, of course, are all stainless steel. The steel that we use is a heavy gauge galvanneal steel. It's all high temperature powder coated. and all of our plastic attachment knobs and our handles are all high-temperature plastic. And the good thing about it is that, well, we kind of push American-made, and I believe the only thing on our grill that's not made in America are the four attachment knobs. So we're big promoters of American-made products, and we're pretty proud of that, too.
See, I got your website pulled up now, and by the way, you know, we do a morning show every morning where we go out. I've got a set built out here, and I've got live feed cameras just like a regular television station, and we set up a grill and cook something every single morning. We start at 9 o'clock, and we've got a little following started now, but the analytics on my website have really, really went up, and we would love to have a hot box grill to cook with in the morning to test it out right there on live television. But, I mean, what kind of temperature range? I mean, direct grilling, smoking? I mean, what all will this thing do?
I just talked to one of my customers the other day who smoked some pork butt over the weekend. He said he had a 12-hour smoke or slow roast. And I asked him, I said, how many times did you put charcoal in there? And he said, I put charcoal in twice. And that's over a 12-hour period. When I've done it before, that's about what I've done. It'll maintain that 225 to 275 degree range when you're smoking. And it holds the heat. It holds the heat really well. As far as grilling goes, since you have two levels, you've got that one level that's within about, I think it's within about 2.5 inches or so, or 3 inches of the food grade itself. So you can get a good sear. It'll heat up to over 500 degrees pretty easily.
Wow.
We also have those famous grill grates from Brad Baird down in Georgia. We custom cut them for the hot box if you want them as an option. And when we put those babies on, then we can even kick up the temperature a little higher. So it's the temperatures can get pretty high enough to get a good sear, and then the lower temperatures for smoking, because the way it's built and the way it's vented, holds the temperature real well. We've had good luck with it.
370 square inches of cooking surface. It's not a little grill. You can put quite a bit of stuff on it. How many Boston butts will this thing hold?
Pork butts?
Uh-huh.
On the pork butt, let's see. I did two 10-pounders. So we had two 10-pound pork butts on there, and they lay pretty comfortable on the one-third end of the grill, because that's pretty much how I break it down. We'll put the smoking meat on the far side, and then, of course, on the opposite side where we have our heat and our smoke, it seems to work out real well. But you can get 20 pounds on there, and I've done an 18-pound turkey in this thing also. So it's it can handle some decent sized protein.
Well, now, here's one big issue now. I got the Weber Smoky Mountain, the Weber Smoky Joe, and I put it on my plastic table from Walmart, and it heated the table up and melted and disfigured the table a little bit. So then later on I got the Cajun Classic gas burner, and I put my disc cooker on top of it, and it melted the table. I had to jerk it off, and but I noticed that this is specifically for the tabletop, so will it affect the tabletop? It's secure.
If I keep the coals down real low and I've got that thing fired up for hours, yeah, it'll affect the plastic table. But under all the other conditions that I've used it and that my customers have used it, because in our manual we kind of make notes of that particular problem, no one has had a problem with the plastic foldable tables melting. As long as they stand up 3 inches off the table, and then the bottom charcoal grate is another inch and a half, 2 inches off the base of the firebox. So as long as you've got any kind of air circulation at all, you shouldn't have a problem at all having one of the plastic tables melt. What I do is I recommend that people that are going to use it on a plastic table, if they get into a weather condition where it's hot and very still, I just recommend putting any kind of heat shield underneath it. It could be a breadboard. It could be some tin foil wrapped around a piece of wood, anything to reflect the heat. But that would be only under the conditions of a real still day with really, you know, with real hot weather. So it's possible to melt the table if you really are in the right conditions. So you got to be a little careful with those plastic tables, and the heat shield of any kind really is kind of just a smart thing to do.
Man, I tell you, I put the Smoky Joe up there, and I was cooking right along, and I thought everything was all right, and I looked, and I was like, "Is that bubbles in the table?"
And, yeah, sure enough, it got me, and but I was able to jerk it off, you know, kind of push on a little bit. It's always going to be
right.
A little disfigured, but now it looks like you got some racks to put some ribs on there.
Yeah, I use every now and then I'll use a rib rack. I don't know if you're talking about those rib racks that you use.
Yeah, I see them on there. Is that just something you bought separately?
Yeah, the stand-up rib rack. Yeah, that's
okay.
Just, and I'll just set that on top of one of our food grates, and it'll just hold it like that. What we're trying to do, too, is we're in the process of trying to develop an economical leg extensions. We had them originally built in the stainless steel, but a set of four 19-inch stainless steel legs got a little pricey. So we're looking to maybe put some together in aluminum, and that's something that's coming out that we're working on. And I think there's some people or customers out there that wanted to use the grill more so at the house than they wanted to use it for transportation. So we're gonna take a look at making some legs. But if you look at Weber's new tailgating survey, they state that half of the people that actually take a tailgating grill to a game prefer to grill off the ground instead of a table. Kind of an interesting fact, but that was it was originally just a tailgate grill, but it's actually performed. It's done some things that were unexpected, and it's starting to lend itself to at-home use as well as tailgating and camping. So we're trying to accommodate those individuals who want to, you know, not grill on their knees at home.
Yeah.
Not a real comfortable position.
Now, on a pickup truck, you know, if you put it on the bed, now, if it's steel, I don't guess it'd be much of a problem, except for maybe the paint inside the bed, but bed liner or something like that, could that be affected?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, well, they got the big rubber beds, but as far as just the tailgate in general, or if you put it on a wood plank, you
mm-hmm.
shouldn't have any problem whatsoever.
Okay.
We've done some heat tests on it where we've tested the heat inside and we tested heat underneath, and you know, you really have to load that thing up with a ton of charcoal to really, I think, have much effect. And like I said, about the only thing I would recommend would be a heat shield under those certain weather conditions where you've got upper 80s, like mid 90 conditions with no wind. But as long as there's any kind of circulation, being up 3 inches definitely gives enough circulation to keep that heat from damaging any base it's on.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say. La Caja China. This is sort of like a Caja China, but, you know, that tell you, Cajachina, you can't get any smoke. I mean, they've got charcoal above the meat and
right.
Bringing the heat down, and there's a clear barrier there. But this here's set up where it's sort of like a caja. You know, the caja is really cooked good, so this thing has got to be able to cook good. But the smoke goes straight up in the air. And
yeah, that particular type of a grill is definitely that's a whole different product itself. The venting on the hot box grill, and this is the reason that we found it smokes really well, is because the firebox itself, if you're looking at some pictures, we've got a vent, a pretty decent sized vent on either side of the box. And on the hood itself, there's two vents on top of the hood. So the idea with smoking on a grill like this is to keep your meat, of course, over indirect. And we usually close that firebox vent closest to the meat. And then we open our vent directly over the meat. And then that airflow comes through and actually pushes the smoke towards the meat itself. Similar to smokers, where, you know, you just have a smoke box and on one side, and then all your proteins and stuff, of course, are on the other. It's just basically a you know, blowing smoke from one point to another. So the four vent system on the hot box grill really seems to do a pretty nice job. And I recommend sometimes, if you have a small fan, to point that into the vent opposite your, you know, what you're smoking, and that actually helps blow that smoke, you know, in through and towards your, you know, whatever you're smoking. I'm still looking for a great fan to do that job. There's a lot of fans on the market, but I've melted a few. They're all plastic. I think I've melted four or five fans already, but if we had a nice steel fan, they come in pretty handy, especially on a still day if you're smoking.
Well, I'll tell you, everything's plastic nowadays, and that charcoal and that wood don't play with plastic. It'll melt it right off of there. And,
no, it doesn't.
Yeah, this hot box, man, it's really exciting, and, you know, for the money, I mean, you could use it year-round. I mean, as far as the construction of it, it's durable. I mean, you can cook on this thing almost every day and not, you know, burn through it or have a problem with it.
Exactly, yeah, and that's one of the reasons we built it the way we did. We didn't just want it just to be, you know, picked up three, four, five, six times a season and taken to a football game, because we used to buy the – we used to go out and buy the real cheapy $16, $17, $18 charcoal grills, assemble them in under an hour, and then fire them up and then leave them. This grill, because it comes apart so easy, there's no tools. You have to mess with any tools. It's just there's four plastic, high-temp plastic attachment knobs. Once the whole thing folds up, you know, you just pack it up in your carrying case and off you go. And that's what makes it real easy to clean, too. You can just unfold it basically in your backyard, spray it down. And because there's a lot of nice at-home grills out there, charcoal grills, but I think, Daryl, I think you know as well as anybody what a pain it is to try to get in there and try to do any kind of cleaning inside of a charcoal grill.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah, it's a real pain. And this is nice. You just open it up in your backyard, brush it, spray it out, you're done. And if you, every 2 years or whatever, if you want to touch it up, like a lot of the black powder coated grills are, open it up and just go ahead and get a high temp spray paint, and boom, it looks brand new again.
Yeah, now that's another thing. Let's say somebody wants to buy it and they've got maybe a rock or a steel table out in there back porch, and they want to let it sit out there. Have you got a cover for it for being weather resistant, or is it all right just to sit out in the weather?
No, that's one thing that I didn't get. We developed the carrying cases first, and I really want to get to the point of getting the cover. But to tell you the truth, I've had mine on my deck just flat out in the open weather. We're up here in northern Illinois, so we get some pretty crummy weather, especially in the winter. And it just sat out there all year, all season, all through the winter, and takes a beating. I mean, it's what I've been doing is kind of testing the durability of the thing, and don't have a problem with it. So we're hoping to come out with some covers, but because I think of the quality we try to build into it, it takes a beating. It really does, and that's what you want. You want something durable. You want something that you can fold up and take and not have to worry about the thing falling to pieces. That's a hot box grill.
To me, one thing that really stands out to me is that, you know, if you're a competition team out there and you've got your gravity flow, one gravity flow that you're using for your briskets and butts, it looks like the hot box would be an alternative now to doing your chicken and ribs on a hot box. And, I mean, don't you think it'd be pretty effective for competition teams to use this so they don't have to buy a big $10,000 smoker in order to do the chickens and ribs? They could just get a hot box, and you could actually get two of them and do ribs on one and chicken on the other.
Yeah, we've had two or three of teams that have picked them up. I think they like to use them for chicken. It's a good thing for that if you're doing chicken. But yeah, it is, and I think from what I hear, a lot of teams are trying to scale down some equipment a little bit. And the hot box grill is such a easy grill to take apart without having to, you know, have a pickup truck. You can, once you're folded and put in the case, you can slide it in the truck. But it'll still take quite a bit of food, like we were talking about. It's the base itself, the firebox itself, is 18 inches by 24 inches. And taking consideration of the edges, that's where we get the 370 square inches of space. But, yeah, I think for teams, I'd like to see more teams grab it and take it out. But we do have a few out there that are using it for that.
Well, I'll tell you, this weekend, BK Barbecue called me and said he had a surprise for me, and I went down to Greer for just a few minutes because we were broadcasting so much this past weekend. We had live television going on the front of the website, big-time radio on Friday, and then Saturday we had the IBCA State Championship. But, you know, it just seems like, you know, when you're in a hurry like I was this weekend, take us through, you know, you pull up at your tailgate, or I pull up out here at my television set where I'm doing filming, and I want to get something going quick because we've got a bunch of people coming over. Take us through the pull-up and setup of the hot box grill and how long it takes to really get rolling.
Well, just like Jay did on the review, it's under 5 minutes, and you're up, fired up. You know, basically, if it's in a case, in the cases, first the case unfolds, the case that it's in with the Velcro just unsnaps basically in 15 seconds, and then you pull out the firebox, which is four-sided, and they're all hinged. It's all stainless steel piano hinges. So you've got two short sides and two long sides, and the short sides have a small bolt attached. Long sides have a hole, and all basically the thing is you fold up the short sides, the bolts go through the holes on the long sides. Four attachment knobs are just screwed on by hand, and it takes another 15 seconds for that. Prior to actually putting up the last long side, you just slide in your ash pan and set your charcoal trays at one of the two levels. Put on the attachment knobs, and your firebox is done. I mean, it's finished. The only thing left to do is tip it on its side, and you just hand screw on four of the legs. They're stainless steel with a plastic cap underneath it, so it's, you know, won't damage what it's on. And they just hand screw on, and once that's done, it's ready. Throw your charcoal in, fire it up, and when you're ready, you got three food grates, put your food grates on and your hood, and you're ready to go. So it's an extremely quick process that you don't have to mess around with dragging out pliers and screwdrivers. And under 5 minutes, you're fired up.
Man, that's, you know, when you got a tailgate and, you know, Ultimate Tailgate of BBQ, Chris Fulmer does tailgating so well. You know, you've got 10 by 10s, 12 by 12s, however you want to do it for canopies. You got tables you got to put out and put food on. You got to roll the grills out. It's a lot of setup at the initial part.
Yep.
Now, you know, if you do it like Ultimate, you know, he'll come in there at 6 o'clock in the morning. By 7:30, he's all set up and out there cooking. So you got a long duration between that and the finish of the game. They might stay out there all day long. They've got a lot of people who come by and are involved all day, and they just have a wonderful time at it. But Hot Box Grills looks like to me it'll take a lot of the work out of getting your setup.
Yeah, and it cools down quick. It's relatively airtight too. Once you're finished and you're done, you want to, you know, start to pack up or cool down stuff. Once you close all four vents and put that hood on, it's like a Weber kettle. It'll shut those coals down and it'll save what's left of the coals so you can use them another time. So the airtightness of the setup too is another kind of a plus. But the biggest thing is for me, when I was thinking about building a better mousetrap, more or less, is how can we design something that's large with features that you don't have to spend half hour, 45 minutes putting together. And that's kind of the Hot Box Grill. It's just, like I said, under 5 minutes, just read Jay's review. And he'd never put one together before, but he said as soon as it was assembled, it was like under 5 minutes. He was ready to roll.
Well, now let me ask you another question. I'm sure a lot of people are interested because portability, mobility, I think are really the key words to this Hot Box Grill. But how much does it weigh?
It's going to be right around 50 pounds, fully put together. With the two cases, with the way we break down the equipment, you know, the small case with the interior parts are going to maybe weigh, I don't know, 8-9 pounds. And then the grill, the firebox with the ash pan, the hood, yeah, maybe 42 pounds. So it's not, it doesn't weigh a ton. When we fully package them with the boxes and everything, we ship them out about 53 pounds. So, you know, take about 3 pounds off for the box and shipping. It's about a 50-pound grill.
Have you ever put a pot of oil on to try deep frying? I mean, will it bring the charcoal heat up directly enough to do a deep fryer?
You know, I haven't tried it, Daryl. That's something that we might want to try. I think if you had your charcoal up high, on the highest level, and really fired it up, I'm sure it probably would. But I haven't tested that. I haven't tried that yet.
Have you tried to bake a cake? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's pretty much it. We've been trying to see what it can do, but that's one thing I haven't tried yet. I'll have to put that on my list.
Well, you know, I'm doing a lot of testing out here. Now I got a PG500 from Fast Eddie, which it costs around $1,600. And your Hot Box Grill, about how much does it cost?
Well, we ship them anywhere in the United States for $339. If you're in the area and you want to pick one up and we make arrangements, it's $289, and that's without the cases. So, the cases is optional equipment. Unfortunately, our costs with the cases, well, not our costs, but the guys that actually assemble our cases, those costs
right.
have gone up. So we're at about $45 a case for each of the cases. But they are so heavy duty, you can't destroy these cases. They'll last a lifetime.
So yeah, that's the whole thing's durability. But the thing is on this PG500 is we bake cakes. Now this morning I fried pork loin and scrapple, and then I went back and put Philadelphia cheese on it and on top pepper jack cheese, and then I made pancakes and eggs on the grill part of the PG500, and I suspect on that top part where the charcoal's so close, you can put a cast iron skillet on there and go to work.
Yeah, I've used a skillet before where we've done like bacon and things like that. I've also used the grill grates. You can put grill grates right on top of these things, and you can actually fry the bacon right on top of the grill grates. So it's an either-or situation. But yeah, no, I'd like to get you guys one out there and have you guys kind of, you know, put it through the through your tests and see what it can do as far as, you know, heating up things. Because the two levels of charcoal make it pretty nice, because you can kind of adjust what you're cooking. Like when I'm doing steaks, I like mine medium rare. My wife is a medium well person, so what I can do is
we've been doing a lot of different steak research out here. So you like a medium well?
No, I like my medium rare. My wife is the medium well to well done, but that's why I like a cool spot on the grill where we have the one charcoal tray down low and the other one's up high where, you know, you sear your steak, and then I can move mine off to the side, still keep it, you know, at a decent temperature while hers burns to a crisp. You know, I tell you, that's like murdering. That's like murdering meat when you're doing that to a steak. But he's an Indiana girl. They like a medium. They like them, I don't know, well done over there or something. I don't know. I think they think that when they see pink, it's all blood. And I keep telling her, no, this is not blood. This is just the color of the meat, you know. But that's the way she likes it. So that's the way I have to cook it.
Now I'm looking right now on your website.
I'm not happy about it.
I'm looking on the website now, and you're frying hamburgers directly on the grate, so you wouldn't necessarily have to have a pan or anything to fry steak. You can just throw them on the grate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They go right on the grate. The hood, if we have a flare-up, whatever you're doing, you know, if you have a flare-up, that when that hood goes on, that flare-up's gone. And that's the cool thing about it too, is it maintains your heat, it keeps the heat inside the grill. But when that hood goes on, I've never had a problem with the flare up maintaining the flare up, so it burns what you got in there. So the hood itself is kind of nice. Now the hood isn't attached; it's a loose hood. You know, some people like the hood attached where you open it like a home grill, but this is a portable tailgating camping grill. And the hood is loose. However, because the hood's got, if you look at the pictures, we have a handle on either side of the hood. It's kind of a, I call it a hip style kind of a hood as far as the shape goes. But as you pick up one side of the hood with one of the handles, the hood actually will balance on the two attachment knobs on the other side.
Oh.
So once you get used to doing that, you can open that grill hood up from either side, left or right, depending, I guess, if you're left-handed or right-handed or where your food's located. And as you lift up that one side of the grill hood, it'll actually balance on the attachment knobs. And now that's something that we never really planned. It's just that when we had it assembled and we started testing it, you know, I lifted it up and I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, I mean, you don't have to actually take the hood off and lay it on the ground and do your thing and then pick it back up. So it's a little thing to get used to, but it works quite well. So it's just kind of, as we tested it and used it, it just sort of surprised us, actually. You know, and
now I see the handles are.
Go ahead.
The handles are straight steel. Do the handles get as hot as the top, or do they stay cool?
No, actually, no, they're not steel. The handles are high-temperature plastic.
Oh, okay.
Yep, yep, and just like the four attachment knives, so they're a black, high-temperature plastic. They stay cool. You can, if you have the hood on, that thing's cranked up to 550, 600 degrees, you can just touch that handle and not a problem.
Wow, that's big. That's a big point.
Yeah, it's, we kind of looked around for the right kind of handles. These are working quite well. We contacted a company that sold this type of hardware, and we're looking for high-temperature plastic that would, you know, bear up under 700-800 degrees, and that's what these handles are. We had one problem that came through. I think what's happened is they shipped us a look-alike handle that wasn't high-temp, and they had a melting problem on the handle. But these handles come from a company in America, in the United States, and they will take a heat up to 800 degrees. So it's I've never had a problem hanging onto my handles. They stay cool.
Now those other handles there, the four on the corners, they're to hold the grill together. Is that correct?
Yep, those are. Four knobs, they're just attachment knobs, and they're thumb knobs. All you do is when the firebox assembles, the bolts come through, and you take those little attachment knobs, and they just screw right on, like with your fingers. Just screw them out with your fingers, and they work quite well, and they hold the whole thing together.
And that's, now, you're talking about the plastic on those six different things there. Those are part of your engineering. There's some kind of special plastic, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. It's a special high temperature plastic. There's companies out there that deal in high temperature plastic, just like they deal with standard steel and galvanneal steel and stainless steel. These companies that deal with plastic, I don't know what kind of plastic. I don't know what you call it as far as the official name goes, but certain plastics will bear up under certain temperatures, and this particular plastic is good up to 800 degrees, so it works quite well. And I've had, like I said, I've smoked all day. Of course, when you're smoking, your temperatures are low anyways, so you're not going to get a lot of heat. Anytime you're going to really fire things up for a quick grill like a steak or if you want to chicken or whatever you're doing, I mean, you can get the grill up really hot, but those temperatures that you want to get up to 500-600 degrees, you're not maintaining those. But I've never had a problem. Cooked for 12 hours, 250 to 300 degrees for 12 hours straight, and never had a problem. So,
yeah, we've got Grilling Magic on the line. What's going on tonight, David?
Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Yeah, how are you guys? How are you guys doing?
Grill Event is a chef out of Atlanta, and he's got a lot of cooking experience. He's got a full line of rubs and sauces, and he actually does the Tuesday night show. And you've been listening to the Hot Boss Grill here?
Yeah, I just tuned in. Is your name Dave?
That's me, yeah. I'm Dave. Yep.
Dave Benjamin?
Dave Benjamin, yes.
Okay, yeah, I was looking you up on the internet real fast. Yeah, that's a pretty cool little unit. That's
Yeah, we're pretty pleased with it. Like I tell a lot of people, this whole hot box grill, portable tailgating grill, really all came together by chance, basically, not by choice. It was a situation where I think I'm a builder, I'm a remodeling contractor, and I like to design things. And it was just a situation where doing tailgating with a family, I knew there wasn't anything out there, and I thought I would just toy around with the design. Well, here we are three years later, and we've got a product now, so... But it's pretty exciting, and we're moving forward and trying to tie up with other, you know, good American-made products here, and we're just having a good time.
Cool. Yeah, I might have to get rid of my smokers and try one of these.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I tell people out, you know, just you know, if there's an interest, I'm telling people the best thing to do would be to get a hold of me direct, either through email or Facebook. We are really anxious to get the grills out and get people to try them. You know, so we're just telling interested people to give us a direct call, and we'll figure out a deal with them to get them moving.
Where are you located?
Well, we're up in northern Illinois on the Wisconsin border. We're in a little town called Roscoe, Illinois, which is actually the hometown of Danica Patrick. It's about 10,000 people here. It's just north of Rockford, Illinois, which puts us about an hour and 15 minutes from Chicago and about an hour and 15 minutes from Milwaukee.
Cool. If she's up there, I'm going to have to definitely go up there and visit.
Yeah, she's the draw for this little village.
Oh yeah,
she's. but yeah, that's where we're located, and we build them right here. South Beloit is, basically a stone's throw from Roscoe, and that's where we have our manufacturing. And so we're, we do everything right here at home.
Yeah, it looks like it's really well constructed, and it's totally portable. It breaks down, and you can put it in a bag. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you look at the website or you go into the Facebooks, we have originally I wanted to have it all together as one, and it all kind of fit together, but it wasn't working real well, so I broke it down. We've got the large bag carries the hood, the fire, the ash pan, and the firebox itself, and then the smaller case carries the charcoal grates, the food grates, and then a special sleeve for the four stainless steel legs. But it all folds up into a nice case, and off you go. It's just kind of a real convenient, easy to use, large, portable grill with some features, which I incorporated into it, because every charcoal portable grill that I've seen has one level of charcoal and that's it. And I really thought two levels of charcoal would be really nice to have,
Yeah, I noticed how inside you can actually make it sort of like an indirect smoker there. And it looks really interesting.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
It's worked quite well. And like I said, pretty proud of it. And we've got other ideas coming up. And I wish, like some of you, some guys out there, I wish I could do this full time. But right now, this is still our side business that we try to invest as much time in it as we possibly can, and we're just trying to do a little bit more of a year, but it's like I said, it's a product that we're pretty proud of, and we hope 2014 will give us more success. So,
well, to really put it where the numbers are, I don't like gas, but gas is convenient. But one problem with gas is, you can get a gas burner, and that's sort of on the same level as a hot box as far as, setting on a secondary piece, like some sort of a table or whatever you set it on. But if you get a gas grill, you're going to have to get a cabinet on the bottom. And the thing about gas is you'll never get a smoke flavor in it the way you do with charcoal or wood, number one. And then number two is you always got to have the gas bottle. So, you're way out somewhere in the woods, you run out of gas, and the gas bottle goes empty. Well, you got to either drive 50 miles or wherever to get a gas bottle, or else. And so using charcoal more and more effectively is the name of the game. And if you think about the Hot Box Grill, I mean, as far as, you know, the Weber Smoky Joe cannot do nothing near what this thing can do. And that's really a tabletop model. I can't think of another
right.
tabletop model that's as versatile as this thing is. Essentially, every type of barbecue there is, now you can't feed 2,000 people, but, you know, you can feed 50 or 100 easily with
yep.
Boston bus briskets and big pieces of meat. This thing here makes tabletop charcoal and wood cooking versatile, easy setup, easy takedown because it cools off quick. It just makes it really easy, don't it?
I think it does, and it's like I said, you can get some big stuff in it. You know, I've had 24 to 30 burgers on this thing, and like I said, an 18-pound turkey and 20 pounds of pork butt. I mean, so it'll do a lot of food. And you know, when you're tailgating, you need to either you need to have something hitched up behind your truck to feed a lot of people, or you got to have somebody working that grill, you know, 60 minutes every hour for 5 hours straight to feed them all. And so, you know, those are basically the keys, you know, size and versatility and some features. And I don't know, I think we kind of hit it out of the park, and we're just, we're trying to improve every year.
Well, now, if somebody wants to go about buying the Hot Box Grill, how do they go about doing that?
Well, they can go straight through our, you know, our website. There's a store, and you just punch a button, shipping's included, boom, 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 you know, and you're off and running. Locally, if you're close by the Northern Illinois area, you can save some money. If you want to do a pickup, you can save actually $50. Like I said earlier, what we're trying to do is get the word out, and, you know, it's hard to, shipping is always, you know, an additional pain and expense for people. It always is more expensive, of course, to go out west. So I encourage people to just basically send me an email, make a phone call, give me a phone call. If I can save them money on the shipping, I will definitely do so. And so that would be the biggest thing would be to contact me direct and see if we can knock the price down a little bit and save on shipping.
Yeah, I tell you, shipping's just a waste of money. You gave it to a third party, but it's got to get from A to B. You know, I mean, somehow you have to receive it, which, you know, Amazon, if you do second day ground on FedEx, you can get shipping free. I don't know how in the world they pay for that. But, you know,
really?
every time that truck loads up, they expect someone to pay them. They're not doing it for free. And, now, let me ask you, how do their websites do all that free shipping stuff?
Well, we've basically just incorporated some, you know, additional money to take care of shipping. We don't have the capability at this point in time for people to go in there and plug in where they're located and plug in their zip codes and, you know, fine tune it all. It's kind of an expensive endeavor when you're trying to, you know, monetize your website and getting the, you know, stuff like that. So what we've tried to do to make it easy for people, because, you know, they don't like to mess around with, you know, calling and emailing and trying to find out the prices. We just try to be as fair as we can. Basically, the bottom line for myself is in some cases we're going to lose a little because we're shipping pretty far. In some cases, you know, we might pick it back up. And that's pretty much how we're trying to do. We're just trying to be as fair as we possibly can. But that's why I try to tell people is to just email us direct, and we will try our best to take a look at what is the best and the least expensive way to get the grills to you. But people are in a hurry; they want stuff right away. And if that's the case, we're set up on our website just to punch a button and boom, you're in. So it's just it's a learning process as we go along, because websites and including shipping and trying to get everything all put together is definitely a, you know, definitely a procedure, and can become an expensive procedure as well. So we're just trying to make it as easy as we can for new customers.
Just trying to make this a big work, you know. I've got a really big barbecue store now, and you can get negative on a purchase real quick, you know. You didn't charge enough for shipping, and next thing you know, you got to pay $10 just to get it to them, and you're not going to make anything.
Right.
You had to pay $10. So, you know, I was talking about these other websites, you know, where $50 and get free shipping on everything. I mean, how in the world do they do that?
Well, you know, they pad it so that they're covered. It just depends on the product. You know, we're dealing with Paul Abrams up there in the Carolinas there with you guys, Nephew's Barbecue Sauces, and I've talked to Paul, and it's like, you know, gosh, you get a $5.95 jar of sauce, and it costs you $7.95 to ship it, you know. I mean, so these are the problems that we have to work around, and it's sometimes a little bit of a hair-pulling contest, because it's tough sometimes.
It's hard, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, if we could ship a half a dozen, let's say, out there to, you know, South Carolina, we could save money. And, you know, we're looking at other companies out west and out east, where when you gang them up, you can break down that shipping expense. You know, I mean, sometimes if we're going to ship, if it's going to cost $35 to ship something, if we could ship six of them, now all of a sudden you're only spending $25. So these are just some of the obstacles that we're trying to, you know, work through as we move forward.
Well, I'll tell you what really draws me now. Everybody in the country, when Bobby Flay went on Food Network with a La Caja China, went out and got a La Caja China. Now, I did an hour and a half video with a good friend of mine, John Getzinger, and we did a La Caja China video, and it has been the number one video on Barbecue Superstars for about 14 months. But now,
wow.
Yeah, there's some other ones that have passed it now, but now, if you like a Caja China, it's made out of wood. Now, they've got a little lining in there. It's cheap aluminum. And if you let the thing sit out there in the rain, it's going to get rotten and buckle, and then there's no smoke in the food.
Yeah.
This, you know, this here to me is a perfectly engineered Caja China, where you got smoke, you got offset cooking, you got large quantity, and I could see somebody using three of these or four of these in barbecue competition. Doing their butts on one, their brisket on the other, and right straight across. You know, for $800, you got four different grills at four different temperatures. You know what else?
Yeah.
I think this thing will hold a barbecue guru. Have you ever thought about that?
I've given it a passing thought. Yeah, you know, you kind of think about all these things that you want to push forward on and get in other people's hands. And all this stuff takes time, but, you know, I'm figuring over the next year or two, we're going to see some of that coming up, and some of these teams may be picking up two or three of these and, you know, taking them out to competition, and I think they would do really well with them. And, you know, originally, like I said, I wasn't even planning on smoking on it. It was just going to be a versatile grill with some features, but it seems to be turning into a nice grill that you can actually smoke on it. And, you know, it's like I keep saying, it's not a smoker, but it does, I think, a lot better job than some of the other grills out there on the market. And I think it's mainly because of the venting. You know, Weber does a great – I mean, Weber is Weber. I mean, you know, you can't say much wrong about Weber.
No, that's right.
When you get a kettle, you get one vent. And you get a vent on the bottom. Probably sufficient for doing most things. The hot box grill, though, we've incorporated four vents. And I think the four vent system on the design lends itself more to airflow and getting smoke to where you want it. So it's
yes,
you
can change directions on the smoke.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And but like I said, it's you know, we're into tailgate season already, and Weber's got the Weber survey out with their annual survey, their grill watch. I don't know if you've seen that one recently. Last year they had coolers were the number one item that people were taking to tailgate parties. And the grill
coolers,
was number two. Well, what's that?
It was cooler
for the beer. Yeah, for the beer. Take that beer. But this year, beer's number two. Coolers got two, and grills are number one now. And
oh wow!
You know that made yeah, yeah. In fact, it's really interesting because you've got grills. 82% are taking grills now over food and coolers. Food and coolers are actually tied for second. And then the next item is chairs. And then the next item is alcoholic beverages.
Wow.
So those are the
man,
top
what a great turnaround.
Yeah, it's an interesting survey that they do every year. I keep an eye on it. And but that's the must have item is a grill. And the choice they say the choice among tailgaters is a portable model. 65% want a portable model. Versus 29% of people who prefer full-size tailgating, you know, grills of whatever. Yeah, those are the people that probably have a pickup truck. But it's an interesting survey. And I look at it every year, and I was just, you know, I was pretty excited that the grills made number one this year.
Man, that's a great stat right there. I love that. And I'll tell you what, you know, I'll make you a deal. If you send me one of them Hot Box grills now, competitors out there, I'll do all four categories on this Hot Box grill, and we'll see how it does. And then I'll bake a cake. I'll try to set it up to do some deep frying, where you won't have to bring them extra heaters and that bottle with you. Try to do it all on charcoal, and I've got a 2-gallon steel pot in here that I could. Put a bunch of grease in and try to peanut oil to get. So I'll do some research on it. But
you're on it.
It's like seafood. Now that's something we hadn't talked about. Have you cooked much seafood on it?
Oh yeah, I love seafood, fish and shrimp. We both enjoy seafood out here. We don't really get fresh seafood up here in northern Illinois, but we can get some pretty decent stuff. There's a lot of, you know, I like bacon-wrapped shrimp, but who doesn't like anything bacon-wrapped, I guess? Fish, I've used. Wrap anything in bacon is bound to be good, you know?
There's somebody had 20 pounds of bacon stacked up.
Well, like I said, with even bacon, I mean, on my grill grates, I just throw the bacon around top of my grill grates. It does a great job. It's just, it's crazy, but it really works well. But I've got there's tons of things on the market. I like to use the fish basket. I've got a food blog. You can go from my Facebook and from my website, and I've done, those fish baskets where you just put the fish inside the basket and you clamp it shut. Have you seen them?
No, I haven't.
Have you seen those?
From your website, I've got it pulled up right here.
Yeah, I have a. I don't know if the fish basket is on that. It might be on my Facebook. I know it's on my. I think it's on my blog also. But it's basically wired. So it's a wired sort of a closable wired basket, flat. And you can put fish in there. I usually put, like, if I'm doing trout or cod, you know, put it in the basket, oil it down, throw some lemons in there, and then clamp it shut. And you just put it right over the top of your, your charcoal. You're right over your food grates, laid on top of your food grates. Also, we've got, they've got the flat cans that you can use. I like to use the ones with the holes in it, then you can still get some of the charcoal smoke going up. But, I love to do seafood, salmon. I love salmon. So I've got a, on my Facebook, I've got an album called Something Fishy Going On. That's basically things that I've done, you know, with fish and seafood. So it's tricky. Just like Bobby Flay says, you can, you know, oil down some fish and you put it on your food grates, but don't move it until it's ready to move. It'll tell you when it's ready to move because as soon as it's ready to move and flip over, it'll basically come loose from your food grates. And that's how you can tell when fish is ready to flip.
Well, let me ask Here's another big question. Is something I've run into. Now, I noticed that your temperature gauge, and this is going to be a tough one, is a little bit high on your lid. So you know about how many inches the probe is from the top of the grill grate?
Yeah, we've got a long probe. Originally, they were only about an inch and a half. I've got some new ones now. The probe, I believe, is I'm thinking 3 inches long.
Oh, okay.
So it's better than the originals that we had. The cool thing about that particular one is it glows in the dark. Kind of a nice little feature. Yeah, it glows in the dark. But I got to tell you, and I think you can ask any grill company that. Usually hood temperature gauges aren't accurate. I tell people that, you know, go ahead and fire up your grill and look at the temperature gauge, and then if you can get a better probe to the inside of your hood with the hood on, you're going to probably notice a difference in temperature of anywhere from 25 to 40 degrees or even more sometimes. So hood gauges are really not that accurate, but if you check out your hood gauge, you can find out just how far off one way or the other your hood gauge might be, and then once you know that, you know you're kind of in business. But that's pretty standard for hood gauges, and I think that's why Weber probably doesn't include one in their hood. If you notice, Weber's kettles don't have temperature gauges.
Yeah, they absolutely don't.
No. And I think it's because in order to get a really accurate hood temperature gauge, they're going to be very expensive. I like them. I don't care if they're off because I can eventually understand where my hood temperature gauge is, and then I'll know if I'm at 250 and I'm off 25 degrees to the cold. I know it's 275, you know. So I can get just used to my hood gauge. But the hood gauge, I think, is important. Just that people have to understand, they have to kind of learn their gauge. But, it does glow in the dark, which is kind of a cool little thing. It's
yeah,
pretty good
cool.
size, too. Yep.
I'm glad you brought that out because this Meadow Creek that I have out here, the first one I got, it had a 12-inch hood on it, and it was probably 50 to 60 degrees difference between the gauge and what was going on, where the meat was. And now this one I got out here, it's about the same thing on this chicken cooker I got out here. But I tell you what, Dave, now let's bring Grilling Magic back in here. I'm sorry, Grilling Magic, I had to make a couple more points, but go ahead, man. What are you thinking? What's come to your mind since we've had this discussion? Oh, shoot. You might be gone. Well,
he took off.
Oh, it's been a great. Huh? Oh, here he
still
is.
There?
Hey, man. There he goes.
Hey, sorry about
hey,
that.
Hey, man.
I went to.
David, I'm sorry. Oh. Go ahead. Go ahead now. I got the points out. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. I went to select unmute. And I accidentally hit end.
Oh! Thank God
you
didn't touch
your phone.
Let's
know. Been there, done that.
Yeah. So, Dave, I'm sending you a. I went on your website and clicked the email me. So I'm going to send you over an email, okay? you can take a look at my website.
Yeah, great. Definitely.
So
let's see here.
Maybe hold on one second.
Pull that up right now.
I tell you now, David's got some great products with that grilling magic. It's and there's competition teams using it, but really it's a great backyard and a tailgate type merchandise. So talk about your products right quick, Dave.
Yeah, I have three. Sorry about that. I was trying to fix this. I'm having a little trouble dropping you an email here. But yeah, I've got three barbecue sauces, two sweet tomato-based barbecue sauces, one hot, one mild. I have a vinegar-based barbecue sauce, four dry rubs that I use in competition, chicken and brisket, hot and mild, and also a rib and pork, hot and mild, and a steak seasoning, also good for fish and chicken, if you want that. It is a garlic type. It's got a little bit more garlic in it, because I like garlic.
I'm a garlic fan.
And I have two injections, one beef and one pork injection. Sorry about that. I'm a little bit tired. I did a big competition this past weekend. Kind of got me a little worn out there.
That
should
come out on it.
Anyway, so I was there. I
was there.
70,000 people walking around. That was a bit much for me.
70,000? That's a lot of people.
No. Not 7,000. 70,000.
70,000. So, yes, that's a ton of people. Where was that at?
It was in Kennesaw, Georgia, Pigs and Peaches. And I'm telling you something. I don't know how these people can function in regular life, because I'm sitting there. I've got to get to load up. Okay, so I'm taking my truck, my van. I have a minivan. I'm taking it to my site. Now, I've got to run down the aisle where all these people, the main aisle where all these people are. And you think these people hear this vehicle running right behind them? They could feel the heat because of the engine. They can hear me blowing that horn. They turn around and look at me. You think these people would move? No. They just keep on looking. They just keep on.
Wow.
They look at me and then they keep on walking. I'm screaming out the window, "Would you mind getting out of the way?" And they keep on. It's crazy. So I'm sitting here laying on my horn. And then they give me dirty looks for scaring them. But anyway, yeah.
Good experience, to the least.
Oh, it was definitely an experience. We this weekend, I can tell you, this is probably the worst score since I've been competing. I don't know what happened. Probably because I didn't have a hot box grill. That I think that's probably the problem.
What it was?
Yeah.
We got to get that situation taken care of.
Yeah, I might have to do that. But yeah, it was it was brutal. It was painful. I mean, we've been doing real well on our pulled pork. I've got that down pretty much to a science. The box was beautiful. We got almost all nines. We've got five nines.
Nice.
And one 8 on the appearance.
Awesome.
It was brilliant. Yeah, it was, and nine's perfect. So, and we did get two perfect straight across scores on the
nice.
Pulled pork.
Definitely sounds like there's some success going there that weekend.
Well, you know, you got to look at it like this. We've got these judges. I'm also a KCBS certified judge and Georgia Barbecue Association judge certified. You know, if you don't have experience, you train a class one day. And you put these new judges out into the field to judge your products that you've spent hours and hours, literally hours, cooking
right.
and prepping. And these people have never even fired up the grill. They have their cousin or wife or whatever firing up that grill. And they say, well, you know, I don't like this. It doesn't taste like my grandmother's brisket. Who cares? That's not how you're supposed to judge it. Meanwhile, you spend $300 for meat, and
right.
you walk away with nothing. But that's a competition. That's the chance you have to take.
It is. It's a tough road to hoe, and that's one reason I haven't yet decided to get into any competitions. The only competition I've been in here this last summer was a cheeseburger competition up here in Northern Illinois, and kind of just for fun to support our Northern Illinois food pantry. But well, we got the People's Choice Award, and we took third place. I mean, so that was kind of cool, but. But those competitions that you get into, that's a whole different animal there.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, you've got some top dog people there. You got some really big names competing against. But I'm not afraid to cook against anyone. I mean, I've cooked against some big names and actually beat them.
You just got to keep at it.
That's right. You just got to keep on going on. Have a positive attitude. No matter what gets you down, just keep on moving forward. I was surprised. I was really surprised in our sales of barbecue sauce. Usually, when I do an event, we sell quite a bit of barbecue sauce. But everybody, you know, now if we could go and bottle Bud Light into these bottles of barbecue sauce, we would have sold cases and cases. but as soon as I told these people, well, this isn't Bud Light, it's barbecue sauce. It's like, oh well, I was looking for a beer. So we ended up selling three bottles.
Throughout 70,000 people,
we sold three bottles of barbecue sauce.
Wow.
Yeah. And three knives.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I tell you, you have your good weekends and you have your bad weekends. But yeah, just like you said, you just got to keep moving forward and keep on what you're doing.
Yeah, somebody was supposed to actually come out and see me this weekend, but I never got to see them. Oh, sorry about that.
I don't know who that was.
Oh, gee,
I tell you something.
What's that, Daryl?
You there, Daryl? Oh. We lose him?
Yeah, Daryl.
Can you hear me?
There you go.
No.
That's better.
Now can you hear me?
No.
Can you hear me now?
I got you.
We did a bunch of live streaming Friday and Saturday, and they was out in the field, and I had to run the board. We had a big radio show on Saturday, too, a huge one. The IBCA Panhandle Championship was decided. They did the awards live. So I had a lot going on this weekend, and I didn't really realize that this was the weekend that they were going to broadcast live for that contest in Kansas. About Friday, about 10 o'clock in the morning, I got reminded, and I was like, oh, shit. And actually, I went out to Greer to see PK Barbecue just for a few minutes. And when I came back, it was doing all kinds of stuff around. And I wasn't there to warn Smoker Builder that his camera needed to do this or do that because it wasn't working. And shoot, even for a few minutes it messed up, and I really hate I even left. But, man, I tell you, so much broadcasting going on, I almost have to stay here and man the computers now. It's a good thing, though.
Yeah,
that's what's making our analytics go up. Good.
I brought my – sorry about that. I brought my digital recorder, and I actually recorded the whole thing, the awards. I've got I've got the audio of the awards, and it's real. It's super clear.
Are you going to play it tomorrow?
I could, yes. I was supposed to actually.
Yeah, let's put it on the air. That'd be big, man.
Yeah.
Is that from the Pigs and Peaches down there in Georgia?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I said, is that the awards ceremony down in Georgia, the one
Correct.
You were at?
Right. It's,
okay.
It's about an hour. It's about 54, 55 minutes, something like that. And, yeah, it's pretty good. Smoke and Thunder Barbecue actually won, and they have only competed 11 times in their career, in their barbecue
wow.
career since they've been together. And they just threw something together for this event and went out and competed and took grand champion. And this,
wow.
Daryl, this is actually the qualifier, too, the last qualifier.
Yeah, so the Jack, this was the last weekend.
Yeah. So they actually have a ticket into the Jack.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
Oh, and they just want to have to compete. Just a little something, something. What's your email, Dave Benjamin?
Oh, my email?
Yeah.
The Hotbox, okay, yeah, it's Hotbox Grills with an S at gmail.com. And you can, I usually have my emails all over the place, Facebook and my website. My links are all on both. And then I've got that started this little food blog that you can pick up off of my Facebook and my website. And it's just fun to to try different things and see how they work and put them online and see if, anybody else wants to give them a shot. But, grilling is just something to get, I think it just sort of gets in your blood, you know. And my wife likes it because I cook a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much something that became almost a hobby, like everybody else that does this stuff. And but it's just fun, you know. I don't know about you, Dave, but I just enjoy the heck out of firing up the grill
oh, yeah.
and smoking or grilling something. It's just a fun thing to do. And one of these days, I'm going to hang up the hammer, which I use a lot, and just pretty much try to do most of my stuff with barbecuing and working with the barbecue community. There's so many good people out there, you know. I mean, geez, from California to Florida and Maine and down in Texas, they're just good people. All very
well,
helpful. Just got both your emails, so I got them both
okay.
here now.
Okay.
Well,
yep.
fellas, it's been a great show, and Dave Benjamin, I just want to give you a few minutes to talk directly to the barbecuers out there, the customers, and just let them know where Hotbox Grills is coming from.
Yep, we're at www.hotboxgrills.com, our website, and our link to our Facebook and food blog are all right there. My phone number, I have my phone number out there, my personal cell number. Anybody has any questions, email or call me. Like I said, we were trying to, anytime we can possibly, get somebody a few bucks off of shipping, call me direct. This is our tailgate season, and we're trying to get some tailgate specials together. We've already got some specials on our website, and we've got new products that we're trying to come out with. We are big on American-made products. Like I said, we've got my smoking brick is Mojo Bricks. They're out of Chicago and Vegas, and our grill grates are out of Georgia, and we're dealing some with Nephew's Barbecue Sauce in the Carolinas, and that's our push is American-made products and good quality American-made products, and we're planning on moving forward with a Hotbox Grill just like you are, Dave. You're just moving forward with your team, and you just push every day. And the whole idea is not to stop and just keep moving forward. So anybody has any interest, like I said, it's www.hotboxgrills.com where you can hook up with me phone or email. Love to talk to people. And that's our situation, and that's where we're going to continue to move forward with the grill. So We've got some customers out there now that have got some good input. We've got some customer comments on our website you can check out, and hope it grows bigger. And maybe Dave from Grill Magic will hook you up with some hot box grills, and the next time you go down to Georgia, you can kick some Georgia butt down there. Tell them that you're back.
If you can't kick it. If you can't kick some butt, let's smoke some butt.
There you go. I like that. I'm gonna write that down. That's great.
Yep. That's, so, I just trademarked that.
That's a good one. I like it.
Yeah.
Dave, from Grill Magic, take us out with some closing words, some special words, Dave.
Geez, man. You guys can hopefully check me out tomorrow night on on my radio show. I'm just so worn out.
You'll be on BNTL 7 o'clock tomorrow. Put my channel. I'll be a sidekick and backup for the show and. David, where can I get some Grill and Magic products at?
Hey, you can go to grillandmagic.com, GRILLINMAGIC. Anybody wants to check me out, be my friend, please be my friend. Oh, be my friend on Facebook. Won't you be my neighbor? For a second, I thought I was Mr. Rogers. Oh, you can go to GMBBQ.com, and that will... That actually goes straight into my Facebook. I put a redirect so people, you know, just go to Facebook and all that stuff. But just go to gmbbq.com and you'll go to my Facebook page and check me out there. And that's about it. I've got dry rubs. I've won competitions right and left with my products. I've got pro teams using my products and winning. My barbecue sauce, award-winning barbecue sauce. Very first year I made it, very first competition I entered in, I won Sauce Champion. So
awesome.
I guess it's pretty good. They like it. So anyway, I'll turn it back over to you, Daryl. And nice talking to you, Dave and Daryl. And take care. It reminds me when I used to do the Wrangler swap shop thing on ham radio. I'm also a ham radio operator. So after closing the show, I would say give them my call sign. But anyway, I'll turn it back over to you. Take care. Good night.
Great. Good talking, Dave. I'll be in touch.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. So, take care.
Jim Bird, Killer Bees. Hopefully he'll be back next week. He had to work. And from Ultimate Tailgater, BBQ, Chris Fulmer, the world championship tailgater himself with the number one tailgate radio show ever put together. This is Daryl from Barbecue Superstars. Thanking David Benjamin from Hot Box Grills and David from Grilling Magic for coming on and making a wonderful show. And now, folks, get yourself a Hot Box Grill. Find your favorite professional. College Division I, hockey, Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL. It doesn't matter what team you like. Go to Barbecue Superstars tailgating. Hit that button. Pick out your team, make a video of what your tailgate's like, show us cooking your food, show us your team spirit, show your group together doing your big tailgate, and let's put it on your favorite college team or professional team right there on Barbecue Superstars, and let's bring this country back together, let's tailgate, let's have a lot of fun, and let's do an American thing that cannot be sold and never taken away. Let's tailgate. Kickoff for everything is this week. Thursday is a big game. Gamecock's going to be going against North Carolina. Vanderbilt's going to start the season off. It's going to be a huge weekend for Georgia, Clemson, and a whole lot of teams across country. So make sure you check out all the college Division I football and pro NFL preseason and season games. And we'll be back next week, same time, same place, doing our tailgate. Go Cox! Oh,
using